Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Praise to you, O Christ. Hallelujah.
All works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise him and magnify him forever. O angels of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O heavens, bless the Lord.
O waters above the skies, bless the Lord.
O powers of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O sun and moon, bless the Lord.
O stars of heaven, bless the Lord.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise him and magnify him forever. O showers and dew, bless the Lord.
O rains of God, bless the Lord.
O fire and heat, bless the Lord.
O winter and summer, bless the Lord.
O dews and frost, bless the Lord.
O frost and cold, bless the Lord.
O ice and snow, bless the Lord.
O nights and days, bless the Lord.
O light and darkness, bless the Lord.
O lightning and clouds, bless the Lord.
O let the earth bless the Lord.
O mountains and hills, bless the Lord.
O all works of the Lord, bless the Lord.
Praise him and magnify him forever. O all green things on earth, bless the Lord. O seas and rivers, bless the Lord.
O whales and all that move in the seas, bless the Lord.
O all birds that fly in the air, bless the Lord.
O all wild animals and cattle, bless the Lord.
O children of men, bless the Lord.
O Israel, bless the Lord.
O priests of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O servants of the Lord, bless the Lord.
O spirits and souls of the righteous, bless the Lord.
O holy and humble hearts, bless the Lord.
Let us bless the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Praise him and magnify him forever.
the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy, the eighth chapter. The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out on you, and your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. So you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God by walking in his ways and by fearing him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs, flowing out in the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive trees and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And you shall eat and be full, and you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. May God be gracious to us and bless us.
And may his face shine upon us.
That your way may be known on earth.
Your saving power among all nations.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
Let the nations be glad and sing for joy.
For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth.
Let the peoples praise you, O God.
Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has yielded its increase.
God, our God, shall bless us.
God shall bless us.
Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen.
God bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him.
A reading from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, the fourth chapter. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourselves know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
Christ. Amen. I simply reread the first two verses from St. Paul's letter to the church in Philippi that we read earlier. He's writing to the Christians in Philippi from jail. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is our text. A little quiz question about your knowledge of Scripture. How much importance would you say St. Paul places on giving thanks? How important is thanksgiving, not the day, but the act of thanking God, to St. Paul? If you remember his letters, we find encouragement to give thanks throughout all of St. Paul's letters. It's all over the place. For example, these words might sound familiar. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Or you might recall how St. Paul doesn't just talk about thanksgiving, he also does it. As a good teacher, he practices what he preaches. You want to guess how he starts most of his letters? By thanking God. As he wrote to the Christians in Philippi, I thank my God every time I remember you. What it adds up to is this. It seems to me that we could call St. Paul an authority on giving thanks. That is, if you want to know anything about thanksgiving, you can ask him. He knows what he's talking about. And today, in our reading in his letter to the Philippians, we see St. Paul talking about the benefits of giving thanks. He talks about what comes from giving thanks. Let me read again these words. It's so beautiful. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? The peace of God flows from thanksgiving. The peace of God flows from thanksgiving. But of course, there are things that seem to suggest neither peace nor thanksgiving in our lives. What about our troubles in daily life? What about our stresses and conflicts and sicknesses and difficulties? What about old age and sorrow? Don't such things kill thanksgiving? It's true that some of our troubles are painful and depressing. Poor health, the loss of loved ones can certainly make our holidays harder. And yet St. Paul was no stranger to such things. As I mentioned at the beginning of the sermon, when St. Paul wrote these letters about giving thanks, he was a prisoner in chains, and his death wasn't far away. What St. Paul would have us know is that the opposite of thanksgiving isn't hardship or trouble. Trouble and hardship may describe our outward circumstances. It may describe the things that we face in life, but they don't have to describe our attitudes or our actions. St. Paul writes about being content in every circumstance, including, he would say, with chains on. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. We might hear those words and say, well, I wish he'd let us in on that secret. But dear friends, that's what all of his letters are about. The secret is not so secret to us, because the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need, is Jesus Christ himself. So if trouble and hardship are not the opposite of thanksgiving, then what is? Discontentment? covetousness and bitterness, which lead to grumbling and complaining. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on those things because I think I already know the answer. The amazing thing would be if we could go a day without grumbling or complaining about something, wouldn't it? Those are the things that kill Thanksgiving in our hearts and also around our dinner tables. It's as if St. Paul would say there are two ways of being in the world. There's being thankful, or there's being bitter. And in Christ Jesus, it is being thankful. Of course, we all know that anxiety doesn't produce peace. We all know that having a divided mind produces only discord, a mind that can't decide whether to go that way or this way, whether to use this means or that means. That kind of a mind will never be at rest. But the Holy Spirit invites us, with our divided and anxious minds, to cast our cares on God. Cast all your cares on Him, because He cares for you. Amen. The peace of God flows from thanksgiving. And so St. Paul points us away from our anxieties, and he points us to prayer. As it says in that hymn that we've sung a few times this fall, take it to the Lord in prayer. Let God know what makes you anxious. Let Him know what robs you of peace. Let Him know what keeps you from giving thanks. The worst thing we could do is just keep spinning these things around in our heads rather than letting them come out of us and to our God. Not because He doesn't know, but because He wants us to ask. Because He wants us to let go of these things and leave them with Him. And honestly, what better hands are there for our troubles and our anxieties than the hands of our God? What will give us more rest and more peace? It's not working harder. It's not noodling the things in our own head longer. It's not solving our own problems. It's giving them to Him. And you know what He will do? God will attend to all that we ask. He'll attend to everything we ask, either by giving us what we ask for or giving us something better and beyond what we ask or think. Of course, in His time and not in ours. And what gives us such confidence that our God will respond to our prayers? What gives us such confidence that our God will handle our anxieties and our worries and our troubles? What gives us confidence to cast our cares on Him? How do we know that He cares for us? Dear friends, this is where we look at the cross. If God the Father has given His only Son for you, if He gave His Son to be born in Bethlehem and then to live a ministry among sinners and then to suffer and die on the cross, if He allowed His Son to do that for you, will He hold anything back from you? Is He going to say, well, I gave you my Son, but I'm not going to take care of you tomorrow? Of course not. How absurd. In Christ, He has made a way for us. And His love for us has no end. It is new every morning, and His mercies are true every single day. When we think about the other two readings we heard, Deuteronomy and Luke, to me, they are like looking backwards and looking forwards. In Deuteronomy, Moses is pointing the people of Israel to the past 40 years that they've spent in the wilderness, which sounds to me pretty miserable. And it was. And yet, Moses doesn't simply point to the misery. Moses points to all of the ways that God was with them in the wilderness, to everything He did for them, all the ways He cared for them, even despite their grumbling and their complaining, which He forgave for the sake of Christ. And then He provided them with food, and He provided them with clothing, and He provided them with what they needed each day. And Moses said, all of this was to teach us, to teach them and us, that man lives not by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Apart from God, it would do us no good And with God, we have everything that we can possibly need. So in Deuteronomy, they're looking backwards, but in Luke, those 10 lepers, they're looking forward. Because the moment those lepers are healed, it isn't just that their illness is taken away, but they are given a new life. They look ahead to being back in the community of believers, in the church, and in the temple, and the synagogue. They look back to being with their families and their friends that they haven't seen perhaps for years on end. And so those 10 lepers, the moment they are healed, it is not just a backward look to the way God has been with them, but a forward look to what God is giving them in the future, what will flow from that gift of healing. And one of them, a Samaritan, gets it. And he returns to Christ to give thanks. You see, thankfulness leads us to consider what God has already given to us, like he took care of the Israelites in the wilderness. And thankfulness also leads us to expect God to provide what he has promised and to be with us in the future, like the gifts he gave to those 10 lepers. We look back and we see God with us. And we look forward, and we see God in front of us. And the peace of God comes to us. It flows from thankfulness. So one exercise I would encourage you to do today or tomorrow or both, and not just when we have a National Day of Thanksgiving, but perhaps every day, is this. To look back and name what you are thankful for. If it's over the last day, write down three things for which you thank God. And then look ahead to three things that you have to look forward to that God is providing for you or giving to you, or things that he has promised to you. Look backward and look forward with thankfulness. And you know what the result is of leaving everything in God's hands and seeing how he has gone behind us and before us. It is peace. The peace of knowing that our God cares for us. Amen. That he has, and he does, and he will. In Hebrew, the word for peace is the word shalom, wholeness, well-being. And that is what God bestows on us as a gift in and through Christ Jesus. And here we're thinking of our daily bread and our daily gifts that God provides each and every day. But also, as Christians, we know of the greater gifts that God provides for us in Christ and in his church. The forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. As Christians, we know where to turn with our thanksgiving. The fact that we have a National Day of Thanksgiving suggests to me that everyone has a sense that we should give thanks to someone. It's just that everyone doesn't know who should receive our thanks. Should they thank themselves? Should they thank each other? Should they thank the universe? We know. We thank our God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul says that the peace that flows from thanksgiving will guard our hearts and minds, the peace that surpasses all understanding. He's talking not just about a peace that we create for ourselves or that we find through some modern technique, mindfulness or breathing or whatever it might be. He means the peace that comes from God. He says this peace will guard us. He describes the peace as like a sentry or a guard around us. Yes, our hearts, our minds, our thoughts are subject to assaults, to distress, to trouble. We are harassed and we are worried and we find anxieties, but the peace of God stands like a sentry and it guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It will keep guard over you, this peace. It will guard you this night, and it will guard you tomorrow, and it will guard you in the days to come. And if you find that your guard is down and peace has gone away, then go back to thankfulness again. And see how God loves you in Christ Jesus, and how he cares for you, and how he promises good to you in the future as well. And that will bring back the peace of God, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the peace that does and will guard your hearts and your minds. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, peace flows from thanksgiving. because of what God does and gives to us in Jesus our Lord. Amen. In his name, amen. 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 And now may that peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. We confess together. What is the first article of the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth.
What does this mean?
I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all dangers and guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly.
Sacrifice and call in the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Lord,
have mercy.
Christ,
have mercy.
Lord,
have mercy.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your mercies are new every morning. Amen. And you graciously provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may acknowledge your goodness, give thanks for your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience all our days through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Each petition ends with the words, "Let us give thanks to the Lord." And the congregation responds, "Thanks be to God." For the riches of his creation and for his grace that sustains what he has made, for the natural resources that support our daily lives, and for the good fruit of the earth by which we and all creatures are fed and nourished, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the law that protects us against harm, shows us our sin, and guides us into all that is good and pleasing to the Lord. For the gospel that shows us our Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom we enjoy forgiveness and life, Let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the freedoms we enjoy in our land, for those who hold high positions in our nation and communities, and for peaceful and quiet lives that enable us to live as God's people and to extend his kingdom to others, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the Holy Spirit and the gifts of Holy Scripture, Holy Baptism, Holy Absolution, and Holy Communion. For all pastors, missionaries, teachers, musicians, church workers, and fellow Christians who have taught us, prayed for us, supported us in the Christian faith, and encouraged us to receive Christ's body and blood and to lead godly lives. For our life together in this congregation and for our unity in doctrine and practice, let us give thanks to the Lord. For those who care for the sick, the elderly, the unborn, and the needy, for medicine and the medical arts, for the health and healing we receive here, and for the resurrection of the body, and the greater healing still to come, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For the fruits of the Spirit that God has already begun to work in us, and for the promise that he will bring these fruits to completion on the day of Jesus Christ, for even the smallest and weakest fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control that have been shown to us and grow in us, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For our vocations and occupations, for the gift of labor and the privilege of enjoying the fruits of our labor, for neighbors and family members to love and serve and who love and serve us, for hands, hearts, and minds, for creativity and making that spring from us, and for the privilege to bring our needs and the needs of others before the throne of grace, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In faithful remembrance of the saints who have gone before us, for grace to rejoice in the mercies the Lord showed to them in their lives, and for the promised day of reunion, when the dead in Christ shall be raised, and we shall join them in everlasting light and life, let us give thanks to the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
In all things, O Lord, grant to us grace, not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought, but to honor you above all, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. On our own we have nothing that will endure, but you have granted to us all things in Christ, and the life that does not end. Hear your people, for the sake of and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with whom, in whom, and through whom all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.